It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Better late than never, I hope. This is The Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. I'm about 20 minutes late, but, well, there's a good excuse, but I'm not going to make it. I'm just glad to be here, and glad you're here, if you are. And you are, many of you. And, well, if you'd like to augment your listening experience, pop on over to the chat room, the Horn chat room. It's at headon.live, and pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers. Well, no, I'm the late arriver. They're the timely arrivers. Squeaky and Silent R. Lamar and Bill and P.A. and Anatole, and all capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Yes, indeed. Yeah, why so late, Brother Deacon asks. Trouble at the Fellowship Hall, lassie? Woof! Woof! Something like that. Or close enough for government work, right? Yeah. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And having seen the snowflakes in the forecast, the little old blue-haired ladies got busy and made a big, beautiful pot of beef stew and pans of cornbread and some baguettes, crusty and yummy. And they sent it out in to-go containers to the folks around the surrounding communities until we can get back to having imaginary services in our imaginary cathedral with our imaginary religion. And hi, dear.
Hi, honey. Did I hear Lassie? Did Timmy fall down the well?
No. That was Brother Deacon Asa asking, why so late? Trouble at the Fellowship Hall, Lassie?
Yes, Asa. It's true. It was. There was trouble at the Fellowship Hall. I went down a well, and they had to pull me out. Thank you all for being patient.
Thank
you,
dear. And you know what?
What?
Happy tomorrow's your birthday.
Let's not talk about it.
Oh, let's do.
No, it's Earth Day.
It's also your birthday.
But Earth Day is more important than my birthday.
Not to me.
Aw, that's sweet. That's cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, Sister Robin. That's sweet.
Yes.
Okay, go forth. Do your prayer meeting. Behave yourself. If I hear you being bad,
see,
I'm
there,
over you.
Lee in New York. Hi, Agnes.
Hi, Lee. It's nice to see everybody. I love you all.
Oh, they love you.
I love them.
More than me. No, they don't love you more than I love you. They love you more than they love me.
It is not about who they love more.
You're the Mary. I'm the Rhoda.
Oh, so get over that. I'm just the Annie. That's it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's always fun when she wanders back here. Or sachets, I don't know.
I don't sachet.
No, I'm the sachet-er.
You are the sachet.
She swans. Yes.
I glide.
Oh, you're gliding here.
I'm gliding.
What a lovely way to begin the program. But anyway, even though this program started late, every program here does begin with gratitude. And this program, and this late beginning program is no different. Wait a minute, says Lee. Agnes can see me. Yeah, it's just like Romper Room, Lee. Yeah. But anyway, thanks go out to our subscribers for the 21st day of the month. And that means big thanks to Harold, the president and CEO of Sochtris, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. And thanks very kindly to an anonymous friend who took our fundraising goal down from $10.95 to $10.45. Thank you very kindly. And that's just double checking here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to our anonymous friend, and thank you to Harold. If you'd like to be a subscriber, well, you know how it works. The interface is there at headon.live. If you want to do it with Patreon, you go over to the Contribute tab and use that there. And you too can be a partial sponsor of the program. What's that, Steve from Georgistan? Agnes and my birthdays are a day apart. Mine's today, Brother Bishop Steve says. Happy birthday! Happy birthday, Brother Bishop Steve. And yes, you are both you are both of the Taurus persuasion, and apparently the descriptors fit where Agnes is concerned. No doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But I hope you've had a happy and wonderful day, Steve, and many happy returns, my dear friend. So let's see. So what's going on is. There are some badly needed repairs taking place here, and we're terribly, terribly excited about them. And so it took a little extra time this afternoon because there was work going on back here behind me in the studio. And the studio was a little poundy and a little bangy and a little rattly but all good noises, believe you me, absolutely. And so, like I said, the fundraising goal is down to $1,045. That's a terrifying hole for the three full weeks into April. Hopefully, we'll knock some of that out. It would be wonderful if we could. I was remiss yesterday because we jumped into the. Derek Chauvin sentencing thing so quickly. And so, Robin, farewell, Walter. This from the 20th of April. On this day in 1863, President Lincoln signed a proclamation admitting West Virginia into the Union. That's true. And on June the 20th, it took effect. That's why June the 20th is 1863. June the 20th is West Virginia Day every day, or every year. And we say things like, it's a great day to be a West Virginian. Jeffrey is ready. Speaking of West Virginia and make West Virginia big old governor Jim Justice with his floppy fish escapade last month. Robin, Joey and I are well aware that the trout was not a rainbow trout, but we just thought we would call the trout a rainbow trout because he evaded. Wait for it. Yes, we thought we'd call it a rainbow because the fish evaded Justice. Mm-hmm. The not-so-long arm of justice. As you saw, Robin, there was a silver lining or a rainbow at the end of that fish tail because the trout escaped and will live a full fish life. So for one day, that was a rainbow trout. Yeah, okay. Yeah, of course, the trout will likely be caught, but that's why we stock the lakes. Never mind. Excellent point, Jeffrey, because unfortunately, George Floyd could not escape the clutches of Derek Chauvin, and there was no rainbow at the end of that sad tale. My friend Rosa asked me if I thought Chauvin would get off on the charges, and I simply told her, as far as I'm concerned, he's already gotten off because he was not charged with first-degree murder. Yes. Adding, I found it interesting that the judge in the Chauvin trial felt the need to take a cheap shot at Maxine Waters, which was totally uncalled for, considering the circumstances. Maxine Waters was just telling the people to get ready to become more politically active and peacefully protest in greater volume if this case went the wrong way. And Finally, a farewell to Walter Mondale. And for his valiant attempt to take down old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, with one of the greatest lines in debate history upon confronting the great bullshitter Reagan relative to Reagan's raising of taxes. As Reagan laughed gregariously, saying to Mondale, "There you go again." Mondale cleverly pointed out that Reagan did raise taxes on the middle class and was about to do it again. Unfortunately, as you, Robin, stated last night, one will never go broke underestimating the stupidity of the American people. Because enough dumb shits in 49 states voted to re-elect Reagan, as Mondale only electorally won one state, and that was his own state of Minnesota. And for all of you who call and called yourselves Reagan Democrats and voted for this asshole who criminally cheated his way into the White House via Iran-Contra and raised your taxes no less than 18 times, go fuck yourselves, says Joey. So that was the 420, Joey's Journal. And then Derek and the Dominoes, you knew that was coming. For today, Jeffrey gets it started. Well, then, looks like the dominoes fell on Derek yesterday in the Minneapolis courtroom, as all three dominoes fell perfectly, as Derek Chauvin was rightly convicted of all three crimes. Oh, and what was Derek and the Dominoes' number one hit? I do believe it was Layla. Layla. And the lyrics are just so appropriate, as I could just hear Derek singing to the judge, "Oh, Layla, I am back down on my knees right here in the court of pleas. Oh, Judge Layla, I am begging pretty please to ease my worried mind." I'm not singing. "Oh, Judge Layla, let's make the best of this bad situation and give me some consultation, because I do not want to end up in isolation." Well, he is. Yes, nicely done, Giraffe. He is being held in isolation instead of the general population of the most maximum security facility reported that Minnesota possesses. They check on him every 30 minutes, and there are cameras on him in his cell 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, etc. Jeffrey has a good sentence for Chauvin. "As far as an elongated prison sentence for Chauvin, forget it. Just give him about 9 minutes in the general population of any max prison and see how long he lasts. Just let a few people that Chauvin might have arrested for carrying a few ounces of pot or serving some ridiculously long sentence have about 10 minutes with this smug punk, and that's all the time that will be, wait for it, yes, about all the 10 minutes in the general population, that's about all the time will be needed." K-N-E-E-D-E-D. Yeah. The puns that you have to spell. Down, llama. Down. And yeah, speaking of domination, looks like Val Demings and Jerry Nadler had their own little joint session on 420 as they smoked out Jim "I Never Passed the Bar Exam" Jordan. I was so proud of Val Demings yesterday, because she definitely wants to weed out the lowlifes in the House of Representatives. And finally, Robin, speaking of pot, Jeffrey and I have to call bullshit on your assertion that Kim Potter, the ex-cop who shot and killed Dante Wright, just made an honest mistake. No fucking way. She knew exactly what she's doing. She just wanted to earn her black kill badge, or at least that's how Jeffrey and I view the situation. Nobody in their right mind would mix up a taser gun with a Glock. She's a liar and a murderer, and she should be joining Mr. Floyd in a penitentiary somewhere soon. This has been Joey's Journal for Wednesday, the 21st day of April, with Giraffe congratulating Stacey Abrams for doing a smackdown on Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. And so we have the $25 Lay Law Challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe. If that gets met, we will actually get down below the $1,000 mark for our fundraising giganto deficit. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. Answering a question from Billable Rick, the guy, studio repairs, did you call the guy to help with the repairs? If not, you should have called him. Oh, yeah. No, I called the guy. The same question coming from Lee in New York. Did you call the guy? The guy was called. Mm-hmm. And is continuing to be called. It's actually kind of exciting what's happening here. Jeremy says, if you and Agnes sit on the wrong stools, you're no longer Mary and Rhoda. No, she's the Mary. I'm the Rhoda. That will never change. Now, as far as getting the program going this evening, and looking for a place to start, Yeah. How's about, well, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, isn't it? It very much is. And that, of course, means that, well, we need to pay attention to, what's the word, the obsequies. And just a little reminder. We really did lose someone at 94 in Walter Mondale. He would have made a magnificent president. And in point of fact, he was my first presidential vote. Because I did not turn 18 until January of 1981. And so my first presidential election was the 1984 presidential election. And I began an unbroken string of passing the one question national quadrennial IQ test. Because I voted for a decent human being and not that greasy-headed old B-movie actor who got upstaged by a chimp on the regular. And I'm still proud of that. Mm-hmm. But in 1984, Walter Mondale said the religion clauses of the First Amendment do not need to be fixed. They need to be followed. And with the religious mania that gripped this country, beginning with the ascent of Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 himself, talk about an antichrist, as well as the ascension of people like the that bloated gas bag, dead Jerry Falwell, who, like Rush Limbaugh, is in fact still dead. This country sank into a mire of religious mania from which it has still not emerged. No, not at all. But this being prayer meeting Wednesday, let's start, let's start with what preachers are so good about. We have to go to the merry oldie, well, the UK for this. It's the story of Nigel Cahill. Nigel Cahill was, apparently, I don't know, maybe still is, an Anglican priest. Mm-hmm. He just got sentenced to every bit of 18 months of community service for possession of 219 images of, and they are illicit to say the least, little boys. Mm-hmm. He was the rector of Aberavon. Aberavon? I don't know. It's in Wales. He was arrested June of 2020. He's 61 years old. And he pleaded guilty to two charges of making, not possessing, making indecent images of children. By way of his defense, according to the prosecutor, a woman by the name of Julie Sullivan, Mr. Cahill said he was online talking to someone and looking at pictures of grown men. He said, I'm not denying I've looked at younger boys. It's a problem I've had for years when I'm stressed. I drink and look at pictures online. Yeah. What do you do when you're stressed? Let me guess. It could be any number of things. Some people stress eat. And some people drink, yeah. I'm pretty well satisfied at the idea that no one in the Horn Family Community Congregation goes and looks at dirty pictures of little boys. Meanwhile, the Church of England gave a statement and said, Church in Wales is deeply saddened and shocked that one of its clerics has committed such a serious offense. We hold all victims of child abuse in our prayers. Yeah, there's more of them tots and pears. There's no place for any form of abuse in the church in Wales. We give the highest priority to the care and protection of children and vulnerable people in the community. this end, we regularly review our safeguarding procedures and provide comprehensive training. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, 18 months community service for being a kiddie porn perv. Huh. Well, I mean, what do you say there? At least it wasn't Mirka. Right? Yeah. Meanwhile, let's check in with Pastor Todd Coconato. No, really, Coconato. He's a maggot preacher. And at one point in time, he prophesied, Pastor Todd Coconato. He said atheists would convert to Christianity because God was going to overturn the election results and make Nitwit Nero the president. And this is one of the, oh God, you know, you'd think that some of this would have gone away by now, but it hasn't. You know what this is going to be, right? Yeah. Joe Biden isn't really president. Sure. Neither is Kamala Harris. The real president is Donald Trump. Sure.
People say, well, do you still think President Trump might become president again? I do, because I prayed about it, and I'll tell you, what God said to me was kind of shocking. Not really, but, you know.
Yeah, what, did he tell you to look at pictures of little boys? That was shocking, really? Pray louder, Christian. Your God can't hear you.
So when I prayed about if we'd ever see President Trump as our president again, God just reminded me that he's the one that chooses the leadership, not us. He allows certain things to happen, but he also responds to the prayers of the righteous. And what he was telling me is that...
Never mind the righteous. How is he on the prayers of the stupid and the vicious and the hateful and the bigoted and the xenophobic? How is he on their prayers?
Just like David, and I think I said this in a past live stream, but just like David, President Trump has the mantle of leadership, has the anointing of leadership. So that's why it's kind of confusing to...
Wait, which leadership anointed, which of course means to pour oil on the head of Donald J. Trump, you know, kind of the way that Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the father of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, anointed his boy to be the king of America. That's a real thing. I don't just say things. Yeah. So with his takes 2 hours quaff, do we really think that Donald Trump would stand still while somebody poured a bottle of Crisco over his little punkin noggin?
The saints that are looking and, you know, they're wondering what's going on because they see Joe Biden and they're like, this guy doesn't seem like he's, you know, authentic, like he's real. Is he really the president? Is he really? And I said, God, why are so many people questioning if Joe Biden is the president? I mean, clearly this guy is.
Well, because they're maggots, because they largely inhabit the and live under bell jars in Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium, you know, that sort of thing.
As president of the United States, I mean, are we to doubt that? Or are we not to believe that? And God said it's about the mantle of anointing, which is on President Trump, not Biden.
Yeah, no. There's no mantles in the Constitution. Hell, there aren't any andirons or flues or anything associated with chimneys at all in the Constitution. But, well, we can giggle at this kind of stupidity, but it's dangerous. This is where things like January 6th come from. People being told that they can, that what happened, you know, the constitutional requirements of the our idea of self-governance is subject to being what overruled by somebody's fucking fantasies? Yeah, yeah. Oh, and by the way, it's worth checking in. I predicted all of this would happen yesterday. But in the wake of the Derek Chauvin verdict, there they were, the denizens of the White Wing. And they are, of course, terribly, terribly, terribly butthurt that a little bit of accountability, not even so much justice, but accountability, was doled out. I wanted to mention one thing. I don't know if you saw this, but I did, and I found it disturbing. And I've talked about it in the past. And I think it was Darlene who at one point said that it's not surprising to hear Nancy Pelosi use this kind of language because she's deeply steeped in Roman Catholic religious ideology. But I really, really don't like the concept of martyrdom. Because we tend to impose that idea on people, naturally, after they're dead, who had no say in the matter. And more likely than not, never wanted to be a martyr in the first place. And so I cringed, I did, when Nancy Pelosi declared that George Floyd is a martyr to democracy. I mean, with that, under that sort of a rubric, you know, Abraham Lincoln was a martyr. Dr. King, martyr. Emmett Till, martyr. And on and on and on. Fred Hampton, martyr. But being a martyr is such an involuntary thing. And I don't like the idea that a secular nation has martyrs. Because a secular nation is secular, and martyrdom is all wrapped up in what happens to you once you've been killed in the name of some deity or another. And it just, well, it's gross. It's creepy. But nonetheless, in the wake of the Chauvin verdict, you just knew that if you went over to white supremacist TV, I mean Fox News, that they'd be all over the case. And so who better for Cucky Tucky, who, by the way, and I found this just repugnant, somebody looked up his college or whatever yearbook photo in which he talked, in which he mentioned, you know, the Christian fellowship. But then he said he was a member of the Dan White Society. Our buddy Irwin in Montana hipped me to this earlier today. The Dan White Society. People familiar with the murder, the assassination, in fact, of Harvey Milk in San Francisco, know damned well who Dan White was. Dan White is the guy who blamed Twinkies for the fact that he murdered an openly gay man who was a vital and important part of city government there in San Francisco. And I'm sure neo-maxi-zoom-dweeby Tucker Carlson thought he was being cute in saying that, but it just means that he has always been who he has always been, and that who he has always been is who he is now. A bigot, a homophobe, a racist, a sick freak, who, by operation of some sort of bizarre and twisted white privilege, found himself being very well paid for being all of those things, beginning, I guess, dear God, oh so many years ago, on a program that was created at CNN called Crossfire. This is Crossfire. Tonight, in the Crossfire. I think I did a few voiceovers for that once upon a time. Yep. So they booked Candace Owens, who is quite reliable when it comes to when Fox needs to bring on a black woman to publicly despise herself and her ethnicity in the name of comforting aggrieved white people. Disgusting behavior then ensued. Yes.
Candace Owens, you'd think in a country like ours, this is the most first world country that's ever been, you'd think the most civilized and the most just. Here you have to consider a murder case through the lens of politics. When you get to that point, haven't you already given up civilization?
Well, that's correct. And what we're really seeing is mob justice and
what, Edith, huh? We're not civilized anymore because a jury convicted a nasty-ass cop for kneeling on a man's neck until he was dead? I think I got that right.
This is the most first world country that's ever been. You'd think the most civilized and the most just. Here you have to consider a murder case through the lens of politics. When you get to that point, haven't you already given up civilization?
That's a bullshit premise to begin with, just in case anybody's wondering. Politics entered it. But never mind, because Candace Owens, self-hating black woman, is there to carry water for Cucky Tucky. Mm-hmm. Yes. Rusty adds, and Mayor Moscone. Harvey Milk, yes. Most just nation? That's already gotten under the skin of Steve in New York. Really? Ask the Native Americans and African Americans that. See what kind of answer you get. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. And what we're really seeing is mob justice. And that's really what happened with this entire trial. This was not a trial about George Floyd or Derek Chauvin. This was a trial about whether the media was powerful enough to create a simulation and decide upon a narrative absent any facts.
That's just a lie. The judge in this case, as we have been reminded, a Republican appointee, did everything in his power to protect the jury, to protect the tribunal. He ran his mouth about Maxine Waters, but you can't expect, what do you expect from a Republican appointee judge? And judges are notorious for thinking that they are the universe revolves around them. Steve in New York, juries are now mobs. They are when they don't acquit killer cops, I guess. Nobody was firebombing the jury room. Nobody was sending hate, no. But Candace Owens gets paid for providing cover for white supremacy. And she wasn't, and the check keeps clearing, so she keeps talking.
Whether it was powerful enough to repeat showing and talking about a 9-minute clip that came from somebody's cell phone without adding any context, without showing the full, the full police video, which they could have released. They refused to release the full body cam, which would have added more clarity.
Really? That would have added clarity? Body camera footage of Derek Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck and the other three conspirator cops standing around watching Derek Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck, and Yeah, but any time a Republican gets caught, they always plead, you took that out of context, even if you provide every word or every visual of what they said or did. Mm-hmm. A little reminder, Candace Owens is the one who once remarked that Hitler wasn't such a bad guy until he started taking his Aryan crusade outside the boundaries of Germany. In other words, she's a perfect fit for neo-Maxi, Zoom dweeby, white supremacist Tucker Carlson's program.
To the fact that the media was lying. You know, the media came out, let's not forget this, Tucker, the media came out and told us that this was a man who was just getting his life together. He was a good, you know, good member of society, and he got mixed up because a racist white police officer had it out for him and killed him.
Which, incidentally, is pretty much what happened.
All of that fell apart. All the facts came out, and all of that fell apart. We now know, of course, that he had enough fentanyl in him. It was three times the lethal dosage, in him when he died. But nobody cares, because the media was successful in putting out a narrative, and they kept hitting that narrative. And the reason why the Democrats are happy is because they realize, of course, the media supports them, and now means the Democrats can get whatever they want, because they can create a narrative, and then they can treat people.
Really? The Democrats can now get whatever they want? Cool. Free college tuition? Student debt forgiveness? Bullet trains across the country? Infrastructure? Health care for all? We can get anything we want now? Aw, candy. Do you not know about Joe Manchin?
People like pawns, and get them to basically say, if we don't get what we want, we will riot, we will loot, we will send these people out like soldiers to destroy your neighborhoods. And that is exactly what has happened. That has been the determination of this trial. The media and the Democrats now have enough power to bully and to lie to and to create propaganda and to successfully win. And that is what happened. And they are celebrating that win today.
And, you know, meanwhile, Emery and Marvelline sitting in their matching Barca loungers in, you know, down at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club look at one another and say, you know what? She's one of the good ones. She's definitely a good one. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to say hi, Clarity. Hi, Clarity. Clarity. Right. thank you, John. Thank you very kindly. Billable Rick, jury, mobs. To explicate on Steve from New York's point about the Chauvin jury, I would say that a mob is a type of group of hateful racists who tortured and killed Emmett Till in the early 50s and lynched thousands of black men who were never given the benefit of a trial by jury of their peers, i.e. white people who could count the number of jelly beans in the jars at polling places. All of that. Yeah. We do have to realize something, Steve in New York adds. Fucker Clanson's purpose is not to inform. His purpose is to make Emery and Marvelline sit up and say amen and keep watching. Precisely. And this would be a good time to remind folks that in open court, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, has, by and through its counsel, pled before a couple of different courts that, A, it is not a news organization, journalism is not what they do, and that they are an entertainment network. The other thing they've also pled is that they have the absolute right to lie to their mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing, toenail-picking, teeth-picking audience whenever they want. Because there is no obligation upon them for, you know, truth. Right. And, by the way, Jeremy, with a sad note, today is 2 years to the day that my sister died of an accidental fentanyl overdose. Fuck white power, Candace, and her druggies. She'll die speech.
Oh, it was full of fentanyl. I had enough to kill two or three. No. She's a liar. Jeremy adding, for the crime of the disease of drug addiction, I'm addicted to caffeine. Should I die? How about people who are addicted to nicotine? Or, you know, how about Candy there, who's addicted to attention? And some might argue, money. Hmm? Not saying, just asking a question. Isn't that how the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda style book works? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Arthur says, yeah, who are you going to believe, Candy or your own eyes that lied for 10 minutes? Looting? You mean like mobbing and fecalating at the Capitol on January 6th? That kind of, yeah. It's amazing how easy it is for them to forget. But it wasn't just Candace Owens and Cucky Tucky. No, they also found some booker turned over a rock and found Jenna Ellis, host of Just the Truth. Whatever the fuck that is. She too was highly aggrieved and knew in her heart of hearts that George Floyd needed to die.
According to Joe Biden, Maxine Waters, BLM Incorporated, and other leftists, the facts don't matter, and true, meaningful justice has been reinvented to mean social justice, the political and cultural retribution for viewpoint sins of the day. Derek Chauvin had already been convicted in the court of public opinion as early as last summer, and it doesn't matter to the left that our justice system requires the state to prove each and every...
Silly twit. She's a lawyer. And I dare and defy her to go into the Constitution and find a court of public opinion. There isn't one. There is public opinion. There's rumor. There's gossip. But what convicted Derek Chauvin was fact-based testimony, tried and true, presented to a jury who then, having heard it, said, yeah, burn the little bastard.
Every element of the alleged offense beyond any and all reasonable doubt. It only matters that the nation is emotionally and politically charged. Social justice carries with it the philosophy and political idea of corporate guilt. Derek Chauvin is white. George Floyd is black. So Chauvin
was, you stupid pettifogger, was black. Was. And that's the part that she finds so easy to overlook. The was part.
Is implicitly and automatically guilty of racism, so he must be punished. He must be made to pay.
Now, see, he wasn't implicitly guilty, and he wasn't automatically guilty. And in fact, the jury did not hear the multiple accounts of all the times that he had behaved similarly, engaged in the excessive use of force. Oh, they would have been even angrier about that. Oh, yeah, well, that's against the, and it's against the rules. You can't do it. There was nothing implicit about any of this. But then again, facts don't matter when all you need is your white privilege to get you through the night.
Pay for the sins of white people collectively. Social justice ignores the rule of law in favor of the rule of emotional, corporate, automatic guilt. This is what the leftists mean when Biden says things like, I hope they reach the right verdict. The trial is nothing more than a show to them. Their worldview says that Chauvin is automatically guilty. Social justice is nothing more than revenge for perceived collective harms.
Now, she had nothing to say, Jenna Ellis. Nothing whatsoever to say when the discussion was perhaps the time that Donald Trump told members of his seething, furious throng mob to beat the...
Beat the hell out of him. Beat the hell out of him. Get him out of here. Beat the hell out of him. I'll pay your legal bills.
But that's not what this trial was about. Chauvin was not on trial for being white, the alleged sins of every slave owner in American history, or the perceived systematic racism of America.
Nor was the jury informed that they was. God, these people are stupid. And it goes on and on and on. Laura Loomer, she's pissed off. Yeah. And then there's State Senator Amanda Chase. God, that is such a drag name. She's running for governor of Virginia.
Friends, today's verdict makes me sick. I am so concerned about our law enforcement right now quitting. And you should be too.
Yeah, because what happens when all the white supremacist cops quit? Whatever will we do in America? Yeah. And then, of course, there's White Power Barbie. And, yeah, Tommy Lauren. Remember her? Yeah. She was a real Lulu. I mean, this is all just so entirely predictable. Oh, let me find her here. Just a second. Yeah, there it is. Stephen Crockett Jr., writing at The Root, took note of Candace Owens, as did we. But also along the way, he found White Power Barbie, Tommy Lauren, referring to her as the perpetual soiled kids sneaker. She tweeted yesterday in the immediate aftermath of the verdict. She must have had it ready to go.
You got your justice, so I'd assume there will be peace in Minneapolis tonight. No rioting, no looting, no harassing officers. Is the Foot Locker safe tonight? Should be, right? Justice, right? No need to steal in the name of George Floyd anymore, right?
Because as opposed to, say, Black Lives Matter, well, for Tommy Lauren, White Power Barbie, Foot Lockers matter. Yeah. And over at the Daily Wire, Matt Walsh, another creep, said George Floyd's death will go down as the most consequential drug overdose in history. Why? I mean, what is wrong with these people that just makes them such... I'm kind of at a loss for, I mean, why?
You dick!
Why? I've mentioned it before. It's like the remark that is made toward the end of Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises, where Lady Brett Ashley says, not being a bitch is what we have instead of God. But they'd rather be, well, you know, that. Candace Owens, Stephen, New York, says she's worse than a liar. She's a Goebbelsist. She's lying. She knows she's lying and does it with the intent to inflame and cause violence and harm. Yeah. Jeremy pointing out what convinced the jurors was most likely the blue line turning on their own to say how wrong he was and that it was murder, including Derek's former captain.
Yes, former captain and chief police. They all came out because they knew it could very easily turn into an indictment of all of policing, which it remains. Oh, let's see. Just as a reminder, didn't take. For all that the Derek Chauvin verdict was supposed to be, apparently it. Well, it wasn't. No. Because it's happened again, and it happened today. It happened in North Carolina today. A 40-year-old man named Andrew Brown was gunned down by police because he got in his car and tried to drive away from sheriff's deputies executing a search warrant. Now, I guess we have to say at the outset that driving away from cops executing a search warrant is probably not something you want to do. But I'm white. And I don't grasp the fear that runs from head to toe of an African-American man suspected of a crime who knows that if he sits there, his life may well be ending imminently. No. Neighbors say they heard something anywhere from 6 to 8 shots. This 40-year-old man was the father of 10 children. He never carried a gun. And meanwhile, the sheriff's office of Pasquotank County, North Carolina, is as quiet as the tomb. He got in his car and tried to drive away. And I will reiterate, you can't outrun a cop car. You can't outrun a radio. Was it really, really necessary to pump 8 or 10 rounds into his body? Or at least to fire 8 or 10 rounds and, you know, it only takes one. Never carried a gun. Why did they shoot? Well, let's give the Candace Owenses of the world and the Tommy Laurens of the world and the Fucker Carlsons of the world a chance to gather their wits together, and maybe they'll explain to us why Andrew Brown so badly needed to die. Right. And speaking of white power Barbie, she had some teaching to do for Joe Biden. You might want to get the hockey puck for this one because the hypocrisy is absolutely stratospheric. And nowhere to be found is a deity with a handful of lightning bolts. Because, well, wow.
You're exactly right. And we heard Judge Cahill go on to caution elected officials and say, mm-hmm. I urge you not to weigh in just hours before or half a day before the president himself weighs in. Look, I'm glad he at least waited until the jury was sequestered.
Right.
But I think that the country is such a tinderbox right now, especially Minneapolis. There's so much hurt, so much pain. And I think it's the role of the president of the United States to stay back, to not inflame the tensions. I like that he called the family of George Floyd. President Trump did too, but it's such a tinderbox moment, and I think...
Hold on. Art of Word Knowing, and I realize she's an upper Midwesterner, and there's accents and whatnot, but she keeps calling it a tinderbox. Tender. T-E-N-D-E-R. There are multiple meanings to that word. It can mean soft. It can mean... From a verb standpoint, it can mean to offer something. It can be a noun, legal tender. The one thing it doesn't mean, though, is that there's a box of it. That's tender, you dipshit. T-I-N-D-E-R, tinder. Then again, she probably thinks it's spelled T-I-N-D-R, and the only thing that you do is you swipe right or swipe left. Yeah, again with the professional broadcasting. Isn't it just freaking something? Stand by. Need to check something here real quick. Tinder. Small, dry pieces of stuff that will easily catch fire. Tinder. No accounting for ignorance. Oh, well. So, that. And, of course, there's also the killing in Columbus where a young black woman with a knife, a teenager, was gunned down by police. Makia Bryant and another girl. Makia Bryant appears to have a knife, and that's apparently all the cop needed to blow her away. We're nowhere near where we need to be, and just because there was one guilty verdict of one bad cop doesn't mean that we are. Mm-mm. No. Note coming from Kyle. Fuck it. Defund the police entirely. There's absolutely no way to reform or fix this. It's the role of the president to not inflame tensions. Does this stupid fuck know who she worked for? Yeah, she does. God. But, you know, hypocrisy means nothing to them. Shame is lost upon them. Arthur pointing out white people patriotically protest and kill cops as the founders would want. Black folks riot. Didn't MLK say, I have a looting dream that someday I too will have a free plasma TV, also kill Whitey? And you know, that's just what they think he said. And that's what... looting, rioting! Oh, can we not burn down Minneapolis tonight? Shh. Yeah, don't tell white power Barbie. But, as noted, it has been repeatedly proven that the looting and the burning was started by a white winger. But somehow or another, that never gets out. What a mystery that is. And, well, there's more. We haven't heard from, yeah. We haven't heard from friend of Jesus, Ben Carson, former Housing and Urban Development Secretary in a while, once referred to by Nitwit Nero as Sleepy Ben Carson. Because Nitwit Nero is, of course, the son of a Klansman and a white supremacist in his own right. Mm-mm. So, Ben Carson went on, of course, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda to decry the behavior of black people. Yeah.
When you wrote in the Washington Post this week, you said moving our focus from equality to equity won't defeat racism. It's another kind of racism. And you wrote that proponents of equity see no problem with treating groups of people differently based solely on race, as long as it serves their agenda. This is what we used to call racism, and those not blinded by identity politics still recognize it as such. Give me a chance to tell viewers here more about what you think there.
Well, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spent a lot of time trying to get people.
And if people could rise from the dead, he would get up and slap the shit out of you, Ben, and say, don't ever have my name in your mouth again. But never mind, that's mean, I mean.
To not look at external characteristics, which they cannot change and which they cannot help, and instead to look at the things that you can change and the things that you can help, such as your character. What kind of person are you? Shouldn't we be paying more attention to that than to external characteristics? You know, that's what animals do. Animals, you know, base a lot of what they do on external characteristics because they don't have the mental capacity to dissect further into what's really important.
Hold on. And I think the answer is yes, he did. Did Ben Carson just refer to people who want racial justice in this country, who would like for the police to stop slaughtering black people? Yes, he did. He just called them animals. And animals attack based on external characteristics? What? No. Animals, for instance, have many of them, have, especially the predator species, have far better senses of smell than us. And they can put a nose in the wind and say, I smell dinner. Or, you know, the raptors that have such better vision than us can look down from 1,000 feet up and go, hey, I see dinner. But not according to Dr. Ben Carson, no.
We do. So let's utilize that. It just infuriates me when I see us acting so immaturely, and we have so much more capacity, and we can work together, we can solve these problems, but there are those who want to use every instance to drive stakes of division into everything.
Ben Carson, of course, is a classic case of Igum Fu. I got mine. Fuck you. And he's, you know, oh, he's terribly worried about divisiveness in the country. But then again, he's going to go home to his mansion, and nobody's ever going to drag him behind a pickup truck or kneel on his neck for 9+ minutes until he's good and dead. No. And so the people who actually saw a man being murdered by police, well, they're behaving like animals, wanting the guy to stop kneeling on the neck of a man who's dying. Right, sure. External characteristics. You mean like not breathing, or is that internal?
Be it race, be it age, be it income, be it religion, it doesn't matter. Just drive stakes of division in it. And, you know, yeah. We will destroy ourselves as a nation if we don't wake up.
Yeah, I mean, if the cops can't kill black men, they're just not going to be murka anymore. Hey, might there be an element of truth to that? Because, of course, from the very beginnings of this country, white supremacy was baked in. It was official government fucking policy for the vast majority of the time that this government has existed. Ooh, I hate it when he might be right. Really, really. Yeah, exactly. Ralph says Ben Carson will go home to his mansion where the picture of him and his buddy Jesus is. Kyle says, Robin, stop injecting facts into their racist narratives. It makes them very sad. Anti-racism is the real racism, Republicans.
That's an awful lot of projection there, Ben. And Kyle notes.
Right. Yep.
True. Randy Radar says, yeah, he was referred to as sleepy, Ben Carson was, by the dopey ex-president. Chris says, what the fuck? What is he talking, what's Big House Ben talking about? If we were any denser, he'd be a Black Forest cake. Ooh. That was good. I know. There's a lot of head scratching and going on out there right now. Okay, let's, we're well into the program. Let's run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Happy prayer meeting Wednesday, Robin. It's Dave in the blind.
Well, hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm calling to let everybody know that Christine will be going into rehab, we think. When they release her from the hospital, they're going to send her to Chicago to a blind school to help her learn to get around and things. And she's doing well. She can see some colors and some text, but it's a little jumbled. But she told me to tell you that she wants you to get to feeling better after your surgery.
Well, thank you.
And, I was with her yesterday when the verdict came down. Her response, yes, and all exclamations. She was afraid that he would have walked.
I think the vast majority of us who actually cared about it were afraid of that, too, because it's happened so many times, Dave.
And you never, you know, they're painting this like Maxine Waters would have anything to do with the verdict when they were sequestered.
Oh, no, don't you know that as far as people like Tommy Lauren are concerned, Maxine Waters was right there in the jury room.
Oh, she was. I see.
Probably communicating with the jurors through the fillings in their teeth.
Well, I mean, if Q knows the answers to all, then I wouldn't doubt that you can hear through your fillings in the teeth. After all, most of them like to wear foil hats on their heads when they go out in public.
True enough.
I mean, I don't even know how to get through to these people.
Well, you can't. You can't. It is a futile effort, Dave.
I mean, my brother and his misinterpretation of the Constitution is if only 10 amendments of it had any effect. And I don't get that. But he brought something up and I said, no, that's not an amendment to the Constitution. That's in the main body of the Constitution. And he looked at me like a cow looking at a new gate.
Yep.
I mean, if he...
What? What? Huh? Moo?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I am glad that, like the president said yesterday, we have to go from here. We have to build on this. We can't just let it stop here. I think this is a good thing, but they're already trying to couch it as, well, that's over. Now we don't have to do anything.
Oh, I know. I'm waiting for old Balls and Strikes John Roberts to declare that, once again, there's no more racism in America some more.
If I might, as an observer, having lived in black neighborhoods for years of my life, I don't think the country will feel like it's the same unless they can kill black people with no punishment.
Or with impunity. Or guns. Or both.
Well, I saw a picture of a man holding a sign that said, 60 years a hunter, 50 years a Republican. I've never had to kill 17 deer at once.
There you
ban
go.
Ban assault weapon. You know, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Right.
This has nothing to do with hunting. This has nothing to do with culture. It has to do with, is this the replacement for my prick?
True enough. And by the way, Agnes just sent me a note and said, please tell Dave we hope Christine feels better and keep us updated on her rehabilitation.
Well, thank you, Agnes. I appreciate that, and I will. And how are you doing, my friend?
I'm getting
how
better.
How do you feel?
I'm getting better. I'm still just... I just still feel kind of, but that improves.
Oh, you're sounding good.
That improves a little bit every day. I'm still numb from the lip down. My chin's numb. I go to get my face electrocuted tomorrow, and I'm going to tell her to crank that little sucker up to 11. Why not?
Because you can't feel it.
Yeah, I can't feel it. You know, take it. When life gives you lemons, make freaking lemonade, you know, with electrical current running through it. I'm feeling better.
Good, good.
I'll be glad when it doesn't feel like there's barbed wire in my mouth. You know, that's because they say, okay, now don't mess with the stitches with your tongue. And that's like telling somebody, you know, don't think of an elephant. And the next thing you do, all you can do is think of a freaking elephant. Oh, there's a big elephant, a little elephant. Oh, look. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a baby elephant getting helped out of the water by its auntie. Isn't that a sweet... Quit thinking of an elephant. And so... But I'm trying. I'm trying real hard. And I got the chlorhexidine rinse, and I rinse frequently. And... Yay. But getting better.
Well, like I told you in the... Like I told you in the email, you better listen to Agnes. It's going to make your life a living hell.
Oh, I do. I am at my peril if I do not.
Well, good. As far as I'm concerned, I just keep up the good work.
Right. That's right. Encourage her. But no, tomorrow is her birthday, and got to figure out some way to help her enjoy
Happy
it.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Well, I just wanted to let you guys know what was up and make a few comments.
I'm glad you did. You've been carrying a big weight here, Dave. Are you okay?
I'm doing good. I still reach out to my friends. I talk to Christine every day. I still see my therapist by telephone every other week, and he's called me a couple of times to check on me to make sure I'm okay. I'm doing good. Yesterday there was a little bit of snow, and my landlord had built a ramp, and there was a little snow on it, and he had handholds put on the railing for me. I had a hold of one, and I slipped, and I was able to lower myself down to the ramp surface without hurting myself, so... It worked out okay, and my neighbors dragged me on the porch and then got me in the house. So I'm doing okay. I've got people looking out for me.
Good, good. Yeah, we got spitting snow here today, and it got cold. It got like down to 28 last night, and I was like, shit.
I had to turn the heater back on.
Well, I've got the propane going in the studio this evening, Dave. Because it was...
So there's no naked radio, thank God.
No, this is definitely not naked radio. Terrifying, that.
Thank God. Well, I mean, you're what, maybe 6 weeks away from it? I mean, what's that going to do to all the flowers and stuff and the ramps and stuff?
Well, the ramps are hardy, and we're smack dab in the middle of ramp season, so we're good there. Looks like the red buds have held up pretty well under it. The dogwoods are blooming in the woods now, and they're they can, because they're
Yeah. They're going to be okay, but, you know, the people who eagerly started getting garden out, well, they will be burned yet again, frost burned. But, I mean, there's, I've known some of these people who are eager beavers with their garden, and you just don't do it around here. It's just like, it's the same rule of thumb that Roger has up in Oregon. You do not plant your garden until after Mother's Day.
Right. It's the same way in Indiana, because the weather will change in 5 minutes. Just wait. You know, it was that way when I lived in Alaska. Oh, by the way, that trail you hike regularly used to be part of the CNO Railroad. My great grandfather was a vice president for CNO.
Wow.
Years and years ago.
My great grandfather was a section boss building the CNO.
Cool. But yeah, I heard that and my little ears perked up and I thought, yeah, great grandpa probably had something to do with that. You know. So that's great. Just keep it up, and I hope you get to feeling a lot better.
Well, I'm doing my ibuprofen every 6 hours. I'm taking my antibiotics like I'm supposed to, and with any good luck at all, surgeon said we can start talking about, you know, the prosthetic process probably mid to late May.
Well, that should make you feel better.
Oh, it does. It absolutely
does. Once
all
that gets in, because you'll get to sounding normal. You'll be able to eat normal.
Oh, no, no, no. I don't think I'll ever do anything normally again, Dave. I'm just not normal enough to do things normally.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, I'm kind of proud of it.
You got to step to your own music.
Exactly.
Just no singing. Okay?
No singing. No singing. Absolutely. Yeah. If tomorrow all the shit I had got took away from me by the BLM. No. Lee Greenwood. Dave, you have yourself a good evening. And again, tell Christine we love her, and that we are all of us pulling for her.
I will, Robin. Take care of yourself.
Gonna try. Thank you, Dave. See ya.
Bye.
Our buddy Dave calling from the blind in Talibandiana. By the way, we are we're halfway through the program, even though I was 15 minutes late to it, 20 minutes late to it. And we're trying to get the fundraising goal down below $1,000 for the evening. That would be awfully nice if we could. It stands at 1095 or 1045. And if the lay law challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe, is met of $25, it'll get us down to $995, and it would be great if we could, because we're 3 weeks into April, behind by $1,000, and well, that's scary, quite. Okay, over to the Skype line, and Scott. Are you there, Scott?
Hot diggity Zoom, what you do to me? Anyway, you said not to sing, so what did I do?
You Rex Harrisoned it.
Yeah. Here's a bit of Rex Harrison trivia. When they were making, what was that film? My Fair Lady. I forget which studio it was. They apparently were experimenting with wireless microphones as they would move around the set, the stage or whatever, and sing. And they were on a particular radio frequency, and they had to scrap that idea because they were getting taxi cab calls, you know, calls between the dispatcher and the taxi cabs as they would drive past the MGM studio or wherever they did the film.
That had to be fun.
So So anyway, how you doing, Robin? How's every little thing?
I'm okay. Getting better.
Okay.
And, you know, someday I will do things like chew things again.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how when something is temporarily taken away, how much you miss it? And you're right about the barbed wire stitches in the mouth. I've had that before, and that is, don't do that. Well, of course. Am I going to think about baby elephants walking? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. But it's all on a continuum. The only thing permanent is change. I forget which wise person said that, but there's a lot of truth to that.
Oh, yes.
So I've done something as a public service for you and the Horn family.
Yes.
In the wake of the verdict last night in Minneapolis, I have done a quick informal survey of the drugstores and the pharmacies and the specialty stores and the big box stores. And apparently pain patches and Bengay are just flying off the shelves because America has now an epidemic of bad shoulders and sprained arms from patting ourselves on the back for doing the right thing. 12 citizens fine and true in Minneapolis. You know, it was not a high hurdle to leap. Okay?
No, not when, and that's the, you know, that's the thing that the Candace Owens and whatnot sort of miss here is that the evidence was really rather slam dunky.
Well, yes. We are dancing in the streets, and good. I mean, I like it when justice occurs, you know? It's too infrequent a thing, and I'd like to see more of it. But God damn, I mean, I've heard reports of people, you know, in nail-biting mode who didn't know how it was going to go. Well, nobody knows how it's going to go. But the people of the jury would have had to have just been visually and, you know.
Yeah, but Scott, that's happened.
Oh, I know. But I'm just celebrating the fact that we got this one right. But let's not go crazy patting ourselves on the back, you know, because we're all going to be in casts and slings if we keep doing that. Now is the time to acknowledge it for what it was and then move on to whatever's next in terms of getting it right again. Let's make this a thing. Let's make getting it right, you know, a new way of being. Boy, what a refreshing fucking change of pace that would be in this goddamn country. You think?
Wouldn't it just?
Yeah, I don't mean to rant, but goddamn, I mean. And I didn't watch a lot of the trial. I just frankly could not do it. And I don't mean to be too fragile, but I just, given this past year and given, you know, some personal circumstances and stuff, I just didn't have it in me. It wasn't that I wasn't interested. It wasn't that I didn't care, but I just could not, I could not do it.
Well, it was hard. It was hard.
It was damn hard.
And the ability, you know, the ability of any courtroom, and it's part of the way it works, is to make sure that you may have something that under any other circumstance would be compelling and emotionally freighted, but you put it in a courtroom, and the lawyers can drain all the life out of it. I mean, I watched the parts of the trial that I watched, and, you know, thank God it came out the way it did, or, you know, thank something. Thank the jurors. But there was absolutely no passion in it. There was no.
You're talking the defense team, right?
Well,
I didn't get that our side was. I mean, yeah, you've got to be straightforward in the presentation.
There was no thundering.
Of the case. Well, I thought those closing arguments, those closing
okay, that yeah, that was
statements were pretty powerful.
But, you know, so much for that report of the juror who was nodding off. Well, that's bad for the prosecution. The juror's taking a nap. My God, a courtroom can take a courtroom could make the Great Fire of London seem like a weenie roast. And I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. But.
Well, do we know the average age of the jurors? Were they like 30-ish, 40-ish, 50-ish? Because one of the problems with that is, you know, I have found the older I get, I don't concentrate and focus. And if you're ever going to have a situation where you've got to concentrate and pay close attention, being on a jury in a trial, especially of that magnitude, you've got to bring your A game to it, wouldn't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you've got to hang on every word.
Yeah, because somebody's life, literally, you know, the cause of justice plus somebody's life, plus the families of all involved, all of this hangs in the balance. It's an awesome responsibility to sit on a jury. I don't speak from experience, but from what I know of the process, and there are many, 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 many instances when people have just spit upon and trod upon what I consider to be a civically sacred duty, you know?
And well, in this country, you wind up on a jury, and I don't like saying this, but in this country, you wind up on a jury because you were not sharp enough to get out of it.
Well, that too, and the fact that you vote. I don't know how they do it where you are, but they take the names off the voter rolls here, I think.
I think it's probably more likely taken off of DMV.
Well, they will never find me because I haven't driven since 2003. I don't know. Maybe it's different states. Out here, I think it's if you voted recently, you're on that list. Matter of fact, I got called for jury duty maybe, I don't know, a year and a half ago. It was pre-pandemic, so that would be more than a year ago. And because of some medical stuff, you know, and requirements, I said I need to be taken out of the jury pool party because I can't, I don't want to slow things up, and my situation would slow things up because I wouldn't be able to be a good juror. So, but I'm glad that we got this one right, and perhaps we have you noticed since the new administration that we are, if not actually getting more things right more often, we're behaving in a manner consistent with aiming toward getting things right.
Yeah, making the attempt.
Yes. And what a refreshing change of pace that is, Robert. I mean, come on.
Oh, good God. No, with a few limited exceptions, I got no gripes. They're getting it more right than ever. I mean, I talked to Nicole Sandler on air a couple of weeks back, and she said something that I agreed heartily with, and that was, never have I been so happy to be so wrong about someone.
Yeah. I can see
and,
that.
And I think you were the one who brought up that, you know, maybe this whole thing is an only Nixon can go to China moment. But the only person who could be taken seriously putting forward as many progressive ideas as Joe Biden is Joe Biden. Because
I didn't say that about Nixon, but yeah, you're right.
If President Bernie put forward something like that, there would have just been laughter and rejection out of hand. Because of course he would, because Bernie.
And with Biden, isn't there an element part of in the mix is a proportionately a we didn't see him coming sort of thing?
His entire history is not this.
Yes, that's what I mean. It's like nobody really saw this coming. And maybe that's what, and see, this is unfortunate. What does this tell you about the way politics and government is are done in this country? That you've got to literally be elected president before you can be your on your A game and your truest, most authentic self. Now, what does that tell you about the way that this the field?
Or maybe it's a matter of what I've talked about before, that the office makes the person.
Well, yeah, that too.
I mean, I had plenty. I actually sat around thinking about what a different country this would have been if we could have put the brakes on fucking Reaganism and had Fritz Mondale be president starting January 20th of 1985.
We tried. I mean, we were farting against thunder there in 84. God damn. What did he end up getting? His home state?
He got Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's sad. I mean, but if what did you, how does that go? The presidency makes the man makes the president. How does that go?
Yeah, the presidency makes the occupant. The occupant does not make the presidency.
So Trump wasn't an asshole prior to being elected president. No, I think you better rethink your theory there.
No, it just didn't work.
Oh, okay.
he lived his entire life in bad faith, and there was no way to make him treat the presidency with the dignity and gravitas that it deserved.
And when is that shoe going to drop in terms of what they're doing in New York State and these various things that are and Georgia? I think they're going to try something because of his fucking around with the election. It's probably going to be one of those things where you'll be bopping along and it will be literally the last thing on your mind that today is today. Today is the day that the shit will be hitting the fan and the noise of it will be deafening. But I would kind of like to see that happen soon. I mean, if you want to
I think it was Monday night. It was Monday night that he went on the Sean Hannity job program. And they asked him about running in 2024.
And he said, well, let's see what happens legally. I'm not sure.
In other words, he doesn't know yet maybe he's got reason to believe he will be an indicted person by then.
Well, you think, I hope. But I think America is due for a positive twofer. I mean, here we had the outcome of the Derek Chauvin trial. Okay, that was a good one. Let's have another good one. I don't know. Who can you think of that needs justice? The old justice stick liberally applied. Oh, I don't know. What about Trump? Yes, Trump. I think that would be a cleansing moment for America and the world to have some of that unfold. Because Bernie Madoff died the other day. You remember old Bernie?
Yeah.
Old Ponzi. And I was watching a couple of things on YouTube to get a little refresher course on Bernie Madoff. I mean, Trump is worse than Bernie Madoff was. And you've got to be awfully bad to be worse than Bernie fucking Madoff. You know? I mean, you have really got to fuck people over and not give a discernible shit to get up an hour and a half early to be, you know, to have even a chance of being worse than Madoff was.
Well, his crime was obvious. He ripped off wealthy people. This country will not stand for that, Scott.
Who, Madoff's?
Yeah, he ripped off wealthy people.
Well, there were some people on the documentary that were not, I mean, they apparently heard from a friend of a friend of a friend,
right,
that, you know, Bernie would do a good job for you and you get a steady 15% back every year. But they were not.
But at some point in time with Madoff, didn't the idea of caveat emptor have to apply?
Oh, no.
If it's too good to be true, it is.
But you've got
15%, really?
You've got to figure into the mix the idea that most human beings can be exquisitely, willfully blind.
Delusional. Self-delusional.
Delusional. It'll never happen to me. I'll be on Easy Street. Yeah, yes, you will.
Bank error in your favor. Collect $50.
You'll be on Easy Street picking up cans and bottles to recycle to sustain yourself because Bernie ripped you off to a fare-thee-well. God, how did I get on that? Oh, well, yeah, Trump. I just don't know. I would like to be positive about things, but and there's every good reason to be positive. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, things are possible if you've got people in charge who view the world that way and behave accordingly. I just when you play these clips of these naysayers, are they ever? They're never going to say anything that's worth agreeing with or based in reality.
They're never going to say anything against Nitwit Nero because they know that that's where the bread is buttered.
How about Lindsay? Has Lindsay turned a corner?
No, apparently not. Lindsay is terribly, terribly worried, Scott. Terribly.
Oh, no.
Terribly worried about what's going to happen in the Afghanistan when we pull our troops out.
Oh, dear, sweet, merciful Jesus. Have we learned nothing from that?
No! All them lives that died in Afghanistan will be in vain if we don't have some more lives die in vain to make sure their lives weren't in dying in vain. And then we'll have to stay some more so the people who died in vain while they was dying and so nobody else would die, well, they're going to have to die in vain. We're just going to have to stay there and die in vain forever now.
Well, it should be clear by now in more recent history that the Soviets tried to go into Afghanistan and stake a claim. And long ago in ancient times, who was it? Alexander? Who the hell?
Oh, the Medes, the Medes, the Persians, Alexander the Great. Nobody could get. No.
Everybody who's tried has had their ass handed to them, if you will. You know? And why would we think that we're any different? Well, again, delusion, self-delusion. I am Oz, the great and powerful. Jesus, kiss my foot.
You know, the only time that Afghanistan has been stable was when it was part of the trade routes and trade networks, and the Buddhists seemed to do a fairly good job. You know, they built those big statues and everything, and left people alone. But
taught them how to say Om. It's like the Mazda Wankel rotary engine. Remember the old rotary engine?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Mazda. Yeah. And the engine goes, hum. Stop me before I free associate again.
No, it's too much fun.
Oh, all right, well. But everything, as near as I can figure, is tickety-boo. I had to submit some paperwork regarding my housing. To make sure that I'm still eligible to get a little help with my housing costs. And I think that's has gone all right. I haven't heard officially yet. And, Jesus, if it goes south on me, Robin, I don't know. I do not know. I sincerely do not know.
Surely to God it can't.
Well, listen, when you're dealing with agencies, anything can happen. I don't think it will. I mean, I see no reason for it not to. But I was a little delayed in getting it done, but I got it within the extended deadline. And you know, nothing has radically changed in my circumstances, so I don't see any reason why I wouldn't qualify. And I guess I've got to be positive. But seriously, I may have to, move 3,000 miles east of here and take up with my older brother, for housing if this goes south. I mean, because I don't have any options out here. I mean, that was the only thing, you know. But anyway, let me just be positive about it. That's where I've been. I've been mulling over, you know, options and trying to jump through paperwork hoops. And maybe the letter will come and say, congratulations, everything is well, you're good for another 2 years or whatever. And
I certainly hope that's the case.
In the street. Yes, we'll get little paper hats and noisemakers.
But in the grand scheme of things, nationally,
with nuts and butter mints.
But nationally, you know, this business in Columbus is horrifying. The cops rolled up on young Makia Bryant, pumped 4 rounds into her. They didn't tell her to. There was no stop. There was no, you know, halt in the name of the law. It just rolled up and pumped 4 rounds into her. And then the worst part of it all is the Columbus cops had the unmitigated soulless gall. Let me see if this audio has it. To then chant. The cops chanted at the people who were standing nearby.
Yeah, and I heard 4, and I ran out. My 2-year-old was out here, bro. Like, the fuck, that shit.
Your 2-year-old could
have got
you.
Yeah, she was right here. Where my red car at?
Yeah, because I just happened to look out my front door. I saw that cop car, 9142, sitting out there.
On Legion out east. Yeah, so.
Crazy. Yep. Insult. Especially at this place right now.
Yeah, it's definitely an insult. You sound stupid as fuck, bitch.
That flag is a Blue Lives Matter flag.
The fuck? That girl just got shot. Did he just say that? He said Blue Lives Matter? He just said that?
Yeah, he did.
Jesus.
The cops gunned down a 15-year-old little girl and then holler Blue Lives Matter.
I wonder if he was a member of Rod Parsley's church. Isn't that where... Doesn't he emanate from Columbus? I'm pretty sure he does.
Yeah. Shot her in the chest.
And they say, well, we don't need no national standards for policing and law enforcement. The hell we don't. If that is step A in responding, then something's drastically wrong and has been wrong for a good long time. And see, when I first saw the just reference to the story, I said, oh, videotape has been released, blah, blah, blah. Oh, this must have been an old case. No, the fuck no. Hasn't this been since the verdict was handed down? Do you think that someone's trying to send a message here? Wrapped in blue lives, policeman's uniform blue, a nice ribbon on it. This is a current thing. This is a real time thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
the body cam footage is out there. And
we don't need no police. Law enforcement.
And you can see the cops blowing her away.
Well.
And then they chant Blue Lives Matter.
That's like talking.
And as usual, the cops stand around and wait for her to die. Nobody's on the ground. Nobody's doing chest compressions. No.
This has got to be message sending. Given the circumstances and given the timing, I mean, and you would like to think, and it could be a thing of, you know, all it takes is a couple of really bad apples, but hell, anymore, I think there's...
Yeah, but, well, you know, it's like something I saw, and I think it's accurate. If you've got one bad cop, and 100 cops don't do anything about the one bad cop, or if you've got one bad cop and 100 cops who remain silent, you got 101 bad cops.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do watch out for one another. I mean, that's true. That's always been true. Christ, I mean, even in movies and drama and stuff, you know, much less real life. And then who are the first people who get up and do tut-tut and wag that gnarly finger if a community reacts to an obvious outrage and act of senseless violence? I mean, if you want to talk about fucking senseless violence, there were any number of ways. And there was a knife. Well, yes, there are knives. But do you have to, you know, if you say somebody's coming toward you and they're carrying a knife, a bullet to the kneecap will slow a person up unless they're just cranked out of their fucking mind on some substance. And even then,
you know what'll really slow somebody down? 4 rounds into the chest.
Oh, well, but see, that's an extreme response.
Yes, it is. And you know what? 15-year-old girl allegedly with a knife. Tackle her.
But well, there's a mindset.
Because it's not like it's one cop. Bunch of cops.
Oh, I know. Lying dead on a slab in the morgue are not paper targets. You don't pump 4 or 5 rounds into the chest of a 15-year-old girl. I don't care what the fuck she's carrying. If there are more of you than there are of her, there's always other options. And if you don't see that, then you need to switch uniforms and, you know, do something else. Sweep streets or something. Restock Pepsi.
Well, okay. Hey, let's go back to Brooklyn Center, Minnesota for a second here, Scott.
This is the lady cop.
Yeah, the lady cop who was allegedly reaching for her taser that she mistook for, you know, because she didn't know her left from her right, I guess.
Stopwatch looks like a microphone.
Yeah.
The guy talking into his stopwatch in the ball game. Well, yeah, sure.
Did these Columbus cops not have a taser? Because you know what? A taser will stop somebody with a knife.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Hell, those things can kill you. There have been cases like that. You know?
Oh, I know. And Earther just said, oh, come on. You know no 240-pound cop could ever topple a 15-year-old girl. It's just common sense.
What is he afraid of? She's going to tweet something mean about him? I don't, how long has he been a police person? Do we know that, or?
Haven't seen that yet. As to the Columbus PD, Mike in Cascadia just sent me a Twitter thread from Dr. Rebecca Cavanaugh earlier today, and this goes back to yesterday. Earlier today, a Columbus, Ohio cop killed 15-year-old Makia Wright. The Columbus PD is one of the most racist and brutal in the country. Since 2013, they've killed more children than any other police department in the country except the Chicago PD.
God damn.
A staggering 83% of those killed by the Columbus PD are black, despite black people just making up 28% of the city population. The Columbus PD kills people at a higher rate than 78 of the 100 largest U.S. city police departments. In 99% of police brutality complaints made to the city of Columbus, police officers' use of force is found to be justified. Just 6% of officers make up more than 50% of all use of force incidents in the city.
Well, there you go.
I mean, how much, you know, Makia Bryant. She called the police, by the way. She's the one who called the police because she was scared for her life. She had a knife because she was scared for her life. And they blew her the fuck away.
Well, and you know, I will be anxiously awaiting whatever investigation and or trial that comes out on this case. You know, and you can't chalk this up to, well, the officer was having a bad moment. Well, fuck your bad moment.
And just by comparison, and I know it's unfair because it's unfair, or at least that's what the police would say. In Finland, between 2000 and 2019, the police in Finland fatally shot 9 people. That's around 1/2 person per year. That would be equal, if you compared it, if you adjusted for population and applied it to the United States, that would be 25 people per year in the USA. What does that say about us?
We're crazy.
And then on top of it all, Scott.
And we're encouraged to be crazy. That's the thing. Encouraged, but also if you have an instance of being crazy and people die as a result, more often than not, or quite often.
Well, and if the cops do in the shooting, then we're eager for the crazy. But get this, okay? There was a hearing in the House today, and the witness was Inspector General Michael Bolton. No jokes. And
hell of a singer.
Yes. But Representative Zoe Lofgren of California let folks know that a member of the Capitol Police is under investigation because that member of the force sent out a message to, you know, a broadcast message to everybody on the, you know, on the channel and said, and told them to stand down relative to maggots on January 6th. You know, the ones who were attacking the Capitol. Stand down with regard to them and only target anti-Trump demonstrators.
Yeah. Well, that, how surprised are you by that? Come on.
The message said they should not be looking for any pro-Trump in the crowd. Only look for any anti-Trump. How's that?
Well, I mean, there's a definite mindset in that field. Yes, there are probably thousands of good, decent people working in law enforcement. I don't know how many law enforcement people there are in the United States of America, you know, federal, state, county, city, municipality, town, burg, whatever. But there's a goodly number of people who go out, they put the badge on, and they do that, and that's their calling and mission in life. And there's probably a goodly number of those people who are decent, who go an entire fucking career without taking their weapon out of their holster. Okay? But then you've got these other fuckers. You know? And it is... See, that's where screening ought to come in. You've got to psychologically and physically and all levels... If you've got people who are carrying that authority... They've got to be able to responsibly and intelligently and decently carry that fucking authority. Don't you think? I mean, come on. It's not rocket science. Somewhere on this planet, there's a routine that Lenny Bruce did, God bless him, about law enforcement. And he nailed it. And Christ, he died in 1966, so he must have done the routine in the early 60s, okay? And the point of it was, how do these people get to be law enforcement? They have that authoritarian mindset, and that's because the society says, well, we need to have people acting on our behalf, you know, to keep people in line. And there are some people who are well suited to that task. And then there are other people who are the last fucking people that ought to be in charge of that department. You get what I mean?
I do. Without a doubt.
I'll have to find that routine and send you the audio. I mean, because it's brilliant the way he lays it out. That's probably why they killed him, you know, years and years ago. But it's just, and we should know by now, for fuck's sake. And a lot of areas we do know. We do know what the deal is, but we have never made it our mission to address it and correct it. And maybe we're going to be turning that corner too, again. But it's not going to be without people hooting from the cheap seats or in terms of legislators getting in our way as we're trying to do. I'll bet you if they polled that you would get a high approval of people who say, yes, by God, it is time to police policing and to put some intelligence to it for a change.
What a lovely idea.
How does this happen, Robin? How does this happen? I call up in a calm, basal state, and within minutes, you've got me foaming at the mouth, gnawing on the legs of the furniture. It'll be an hour after I'm through calling before I calm the fuck down. Do I do it to me, or do you bring it out?
It's the caffeine, Scott.
Oh, no, come on. I've been using caffeine my entire life. I came out of the womb with a cup of coffee in my hand. there's a delightful picture. Ooh, yes, what's that kid drinking? What's in that cup? Is that a tea bag hanging? Oh, no, that's the umbilical cord, you fool. And what am I doing, Arthur Godfrey? How are you? Stop me. God damn it.
Well, I can. I can take you somewhere else. We've had another Joe Manchin sighting.
Oh, dear.
That's never a good thing for anybody who works for a living. Joe was invited to speak to an industry group. It was a private event with restaurant industry lobbyists. Okay? He was invited there to shit on the minimum wage. But as with almost every story, you know, it's all supposed to be who, what, where, why, when, how much. But in this case, there's a part of the who that's missing. So he gets invited to this restaurant industry lobby group meeting. And there's lots of people there who could give money to Joe Manchin, and Joe Manchin is always cognizant of people who could give him money. And so he said, we've been having meetings on minimum wage, and I can't for the life of me understand why they don't take a win on $11. Bernie Sanders is totally committed in his heart and soul that $15 is the way to go. Well, it might be the way to go, Bernie, but it ain't going to go. You don't have the votes for it. It's not going to happen. So they're going to walk away with their pride saying we fought for $15 and got nothing. If it comes down to one person, I don't believe it should be above $11. I don't think the tipped wage should ever go above half of that. Because, see, one of the things that the more progressive side of this debate has been working on, or hollering for, is to end that tipped wage exception. You know, where you make $2 an hour and you're supposed to make it up in tips, and if you have a bad night, too bad. Just tell the power company and they won't turn your power off, which, no, that doesn't work that way. Well, Joe says that the tipped wage shouldn't even be $5.50. Should not go to $5.50. Shouldn't be $5. Maybe he likes it right where it is, because, you know, all those servers are out there getting fucking rich, Scott. on tips from people like Joe or the Baptists who leave a dime under the coffee cup and a Bible verse on the check.
Yeah.
Because those things are real. I know no small number of people who work a tipped wage.
Mm-hmm.
And that dime under the coffee cup thing is fucking real.
Well, and you're lucky if you get a friendly note or a Bible verse on the receipt, on the bill. Sometimes they'll write hateful things on the check. I say,
but it was the thing. The thing was hosted by the National Restaurant Association, and I think what an activist might do is find out who the member restaurants are of the National Restaurant Association, and maybe have a chat with those corporations.
Now, maybe you can ask.
Is Bob Evans a member of the National Restaurant Association? How about Cracker Barrel? How about Olive Garden? How about Cheddar's? How about Shoney's? Were there lobbyists in the room?
Answer me this, Robin. Does Joe Manchin have a food taster? I mean, if he is being that vehement in his resistance to a living fucking wage for people who work their asses off for very little thanks and damn little money. I mean, I've never been a waiter, a wait person, you know. But it's fucking exhausting work carrying big trays of fucking food and on your feet and dealing with assholes and idiots. Does Manchin have a food taster?
No, his person is sacrosanct.
I would be first in line to spit in his food before they bring it out from the kitchen.
Maybe restaurant workers should know about this, and maybe they should refuse to serve him.
Well, sorry, Senator.
The head lobbyist for the National Restaurant Association is a guy named Sean Kennedy. And
in relation to he John was, Kennedy, the senator?
No, I don't know. A lot of Kennedys, come on. From your lips to God ears, Kennedy said to Joe Manchin. Andrew Perez of the Daily Poster noting, Manchin didn't say anything here he wouldn't tell a Capitol Hill reporter, but it's not every day you get to hear industry lobbyists cheering him on and effusively thanking him for trying to keep wages low.
Jeez.
I wonder how that would go over if he did that, say, with coal worker wages.
Well, they're like beasts in the wild. They go after the most vulnerable, is what it comes down to. I don't know that waitress and restaurant work is, that's not an organized trade. I'm sure it's not. There might be places,
maybe Vegas.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously Vegas, the hospitality unions. I don't know who heads that up. Probably, isn't it SEIU or?
There's probably several different outfits. But
the
no.
thing about it is they go after the people that, A, don't have a voice. They certainly don't have a lobbying association with a Sean Kennedy in charge.
And God damn it, it is hard work.
Well, that's where
it's harder work than Joe Manchin's ever damned well done, Scott.
Well, you think? Yeah, I would say probably. I mean, and he's on our side though, isn't he, Bob?
Oh,
my ass.
Yeah. And Kirsten Sinema was invited to speak to them. And she talked about how she's hammering out a bipartisan bill with Willard Romney for less than $11 an hour.
Who is?
Kirsten Sinema.
Oh, God.
Now, she's from Arizona, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe.
And the state minimum wage in Arizona is $13 an hour. So she is arguing for a lower minimum wage than workers get in her own home state.
Well,
how's that for some bullshit?
To the extent that people, I think you hit on a good idea. That, you know, all of these restaurants that make that are members in good standing, so-called, of this association, I wouldn't step foot in a place that has that mindset. I don't care how good the fucking food is. You know, I don't care about your breakfast bar. I don't care about your salad bar. I don't care about your attractive, well-lit sign and parking lot.
If you can, well, I mean, it's still the same bottom line, Scott. If you cannot afford to pay a living wage to the people who work for you, and let's be clear, $15 an hour is not a living wage, then your ass does not need to be in business.
Well, yeah, that too. You know, they're acting as if, they're behaving as if, they're thinking as if $15 is some horrible number.
I'm sorry, it's 12. It's 12 in Arizona, not 13. I was mistaken.
Well, $15 as a national minimum wage. In the early 2000s, that was a decent number. Now it ought to be higher than 15 an hour. I mean, unless I'm missing something.
You aren't.
Back in the late 80s and into the very early 90s, I was making like over $19 part-time playing records and being silly at a union shop radio station. And while it may have been valued work to some extent, it certainly wasn't backbreaking. Hell, we didn't even have records. All the music was on cartridges, okay? And I didn't break a sweat.
Oh, but I'll tell you what, popping those carts into those cart decks, you can get a brutal case of cart palm.
Oh, I heard. Yeah, well, yes, that is true. But in the grand scheme of things, and that was...
You know, sometimes even cartel tunnel syndrome.
But what I'm saying is, you know, we've got people out here trying to keep body and soul together, doing hard work for people who don't appreciate it in many cases. And plus, they're up against a goddamn lobbying group. You know, a special interest. Where are the fucking Republicans and even some Democrats talking about? Normally, aren't they the first to scream about special interests? Yeah, the American people, this industry has a right to have representation on the Capitol Hill.
And people have the absolute right to not do business with, not give their custom to people, to corporations that don't believe in a living wage.
Well, whoever's in favor of this better hire a food taster, because I'm sure that not all white people are are that intense about things, but you got to figure there's going to be some spitting or something into the food. And why take a chance? That could be the next growth industry in America, Robin, food taster for politicians.
Oh, Jesus, I know. You just got a note from Shorty in L.A. Hey, sweetie pies. Scott, guess what? The police have been sending that message, Blue Lives Matter, for a very long time. Has nothing to do with the court decision. I think she was waiting, like others in Ohio, for that verdict minutes away. This has to do with control. It's not about power. It's about showing us they have control, and you're just like they have control, just like when they whipped us and hung us by a noose. Yeah, they had control. Poor things had to have a bunch of other white guys on horses to be there with them. You know, Scott, many of us kidnapped Africans kicked their fucking asses, and that's why they started traveling by three and four in groups. Thank you, Shorty.
Well, you're right.
Oh, and by the way, I've been given a cowbell, and I will take it. That's right. Cartel tunnel syndrome. Oh, I used to come home with my palms just blue, bruised, and from slamming those carts in, harem scarem, it one after another, because you'd have only so many cart decks, and you'd have so many ads to have to play during the break. It was just one after another, one after another. I'd dream about it, Scott. When I got home, I'd have nightmares, and then the cart decks just wouldn't, and the buttons wouldn't work, and they wouldn't engage, and I'd wake up in a sweat, and my hands would be aching.
Did I ever send you the link to the place where you can buy a table lamp made out of a cart machine, and to turn it on, it comes with its own cart. To turn it on, you shove the cart in. To turn it off, you pull the cart out.
No, you did not.
I must send you that.
I must have one of those.
Well, I was thinking that you ought, you know.
And does it come with a degausser?
Maybe the deluxe model. Yes, I will make a note and send you the link. But I've got a bunch of carts, and I don't have any way to play them. I need a cart machine. Apparently, it's a functioning cart machine. I guess if you hook a speaker to it, you know, you can get sound out of it. Maybe I need one too. Maybe I'll get one for you and one for me, and we can just play old drop-ins from carts from days gone by. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, with the canned music beds and it's free car wash Friday down at Freddy's Texaco.
Bring the kids, pony rides, hot dogs,
balloons,
and Bobo the clown. I can't say Bozo because that's a copyrighted feature, but Bobo take the sales. The sales assistant sales.
God, this really, now the mansion story just really pisses me off, Scott.
Well, it pisses me off too. I think, you know.
No, I mean, I think people who work for a living in restaurants should probably organize, at least insofar as they decide not to serve Joe Manchin.
Well, you'd have to clean him first.
Looks so cute with an apple in his mouth. No.
Why? Stop. Why is Manchin such an expensive item on the menu?
Well, you ever had to clean one?
Give yourself another cowbell.
Oh, thank you. It's an oldie but a goodie. Yes. But yeah, I mean, seriously. Well, there should be some level of activism here. Well, that's who are the member corporations of the National Restaurant Association, also curiously known as the NRA? Maybe Joe thought he was going to a different meeting. I don't know. They'll raise the minimum wage to $15. They can have $15 an hour when they pry the fork out of my cold, dead fingers. What? But no, we need to find out who are the member and who does that fucker lobby for? That Sean Kennedy, and reach out to every one of his clients and say, we're announcing a boycott. And then they'll say, yeah, but that hurts the people who work for us. Well, they shouldn't be working for you because you don't deserve to be in business.
Yeah. Well, yes, and. In a way, the public who becomes informed and aware of situations like this is in the prime seat, in the sense that, you know, public pressure properly applied will inspire people even beyond their own instincts to do better more often than not. Didn't we learn that from the All-Star game?
I thought that maybe we were supposed to.
Yeah. So, you know, if it works in that scenario, it ought to work in this scenario. And that I'm sure that with a little investigative work, we should be able to figure out who the companies are. And you probably even mentioned a couple of them. You know, these national chains, especially, or regional chains.
I mean, I'm lucky. Back when I could eat things, I live in a community that has a lot of little locally owned restaurants where people are struggling to survive, especially during this pandemic. And I will bust my ass to give my custom to them as opposed to going to some corporate outfit. And now more than ever. Of course, you know, now more than ever, it's mostly, you know, cup of soup and shit like that. But really,
the people, and I've never owned a business, but I mean, if someone has others working for him or her over the course of the lifetime of a business, yes, you started the business, but there were people along the way who supported you in the effort of making that thing a success. And that's all anybody is saying. These people need to be acknowledged and paid a decent living, appropriate wage for the work that they honestly do. And that shouldn't be a stretch, you know? If the roles were reversed, if you were the waitress or the waiter, that's what you would certainly want. And you'd want to work for an employer who had your best interest at heart. Because if someone is appreciated, don't they redouble their efforts on your behalf to everybody's ultimate good?
Loyalty?
Or has
stuff like that?
Has business been fucked up to a point that I'm not aware of it? I think I left something dangling there. Or put a preposition somewhere it shouldn't have been. But you get what I mean. If we're all truly in this thing together, shouldn't we behave as if we are and watch out for one another? That doesn't mean hug the boss every day. And certainly you're going to scrawl something on the bathroom stall about the boss from time to time. But in the grand scheme of things, he's there for you or she's there for you, and you're there for him and the public that you serve. I mean, it's, you know, to quote Rodney King, can't we all get along?
And no, the answer is no.
Well, not with Manchin fucking around and fucking people over. I don't think he's completely out of the woods in terms of the people in the Senate dining room in the kitchen there. I mean, I would have the
White bean soup.
Yeah, I've had that white bean soup analyzed before I take the first spoonful, Senator. I mean, you know. Strom Thurmond, that's what killed him. It wasn't old age. It was the cumulative effect of workers pissing in this soup and this coffee, Robin. I mean, come on. I know it's the dinner hour.
Well, you know, Strom never had any brown bean soup. Strictly kind of guy, Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, David B. Weinberg is here.
Here's an example. Jude writing in from the Great Northwest. Yes, union wages. Back in 1971, my now ex-husband worked as a journeyman welder. His wage was $4.50 an hour. Yes, $4.50 an hour. Our craftsman home, built by the original owners we purchased from, was $15,000. House payment of $105 a month. We weren't in the money, as one would say. Yet all the needs were met with an occasional Saturday night outing as a family to the Starlight Drive-In movie. Interesting how the mind reveals such memories, all triggered by you and Scott's interchange just now. Thank you, Jude.
Well, there was a time when this country worked. And there were people. And see, the troubling thing, one of the troubling things, is the fact that the people in charge of making the country work were on the side of the people who were doing the work to make the country work. That's not as true today as it was once upon a time. I think of a certain president whose letters in his name added up to 666, who didn't have a good thing going with a certain union who kept planes from running into one another early on in his administration, and it went down.
Well, and you know, that's all Manchin is doing is extrapolating from the Reagan miracle. Remember, the first two things he did were what? Remove the solar panels from the White House and tax servers tips.
Yeah, that too. I remember that.
Because America was falling apart because they weren't getting because we weren't getting a cut of somebody's tips who made 35 cents an hour and had to make it up in tips. And you know, watch out for one another. Earther says that's not how you make the Forbes top 25 list, Scott. Hard work is just for the little people, to paraphrase Leona Helmsley. And big pay is just for the big people, to plagiarize a phrase, Earther. Precisely. Oh, and thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy in Vermont met the Lay Law Challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe. So we got down under $1,000 in terms of the hole. We're at $995. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're looking at this point in time, $1,295 for tomorrow. But thank you, Jeremy. Thank you so kindly. Sorry, I didn't mean to kill the conversation.
No,
there.
No, you didn't. I was looking here to see if I could find this. This tape cartridge machine lamp. While I was thinking about it, to send you the link so you could look at it.
Well, in the meantime, let me ask you: did you know that there was a frothing at the mouth, foaming, bloodthirsty pro-Trump rally this weekend?
Where? Not here.
This weekend just passed.
No,
yeah, it was the Health and Freedom Conference in Oklahoma.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did hear something about that.
Lynn Wood, the guy who was screaming, calling for, you know, bloody insurrection. Well, he tore off into the great and crazy unknown. He said the children are being tortured to harvest their chemicals. I don't know how he didn't say precious bodily fluids. And then he said, all the elites should be rounded up and put in front of a firing squad. And the crowd cheered. And then you remember the guy who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ? You know, that Mel Gibson snuff film?
Oh, yes. I forget his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Well, his name's Jim Caviezel.
Yes.
Jim the Weasel Caviezel. And he was there at the Health and Freedom Conference in Oklahoma.
Was this in Tulsa or in Oklahoma City?
I don't know. But he told the assembled grunting and hooting and barking and moaning and LARPing and smolicking and gravelating butthole to belly button a bunch. He said that them global elites are harvesting children's adrenal glands so they can stay looking young and beautiful. And it was described as an openly bloodlusty carnival.
Where was this?
Oklahoma.
Yeah, but we don't know where in Oklahoma.
Doesn't much matter. It's Oklahoma.
Well, the reason I ask is that the timing of it is also rather interesting in that isn't the day before yesterday, wasn't that the anniversary of Mr. McVeigh's little...
Oh, the bombing, yes.
In Oklahoma City?
Mm-hmm.
I would think that they are, you know, that the people like from that area, you know, would still be sensitive even all these years later. What was that, in 1995?
Yep, 95.
That's not something that you soon forget, especially if you have a friend or a relative or a child who was in the daycare that day in the fucking Murrah building. Come on. Do you really want these people, you know, yes, people have a right to gather, people have a right to speak, but there's also a certain amount of decorum, and the timing of it, to me, seems a little suspect, if you get my meaning, if you catch my
drift. I didn't think about that initially, but it was over the weekend. Nick ups, by the way. The Nick ups have come.
Yeah.
But that is... But
the mindset of this current group of people, I mean, you take the folks on January 6th, there's a direct line in a way from the militia that McVeigh was part of and what happened down in Oklahoma City. And you do a fast forward to today, and you know, you'd shit yourself, you know, and get faint when you realize that nothing really has changed. You know, we'd like to think that things have changed.
Well, we'd like to think a lot of things.
Yeah. Well,
it was and by the way, it was in Tulsa, not Oklahoma City. Well, Billable Rick told us that.
That should tell you something also.
Billable Rick sent this along, too. Reported by KTUL-TV, controversial conference to end with mask-burning event.
Oh.
I got these cute little masks with sequins on them. I wouldn't burn mine.
Well, there was I'm not going to go into that. I got hate mail left on my front doorstep in Tulsa after writing a letter to the editor of the Tulsa World in the wake of the Oklahoma City thing. And it was a satirical thing. They're taking our guns away. And I, with a calculator, showed them how foolish that notion was. Well, somebody didn't think it was so cute. And I went out one morning, and on the front porch was a manila envelope. I foolishly picked it up, opened it, and took it in the house, opened it up, and was a lot of hateful publications from, like, white Aryan resistance.
Oh, sure.
War and groups like that. And it freaked me the fuck out. And I thought about it later. It could have been more than just printed material. I mean, when it comes right down to it, because they don't like to.
Oh, they'll send you a snake in a box.
Well, shit, yeah. And the snake's got a gun strapped to him somehow, and a little teeny tiny snake gun. I don't know how he fires it, but goddamn, put that away. But
a good observation. No, it turns out it was Rick. Billable Rick has corrected himself. It was at Rima Bible College in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Oh, that's just up the road from Tulsa. It's I'd hate to walk it, but it's not. And that Rima, R-H-E-M-A, is that?
Yeah, that's the place.
Oh, I used to know the name of the people. It's a father, and it was a grandfather, and then the son, and then the son of the son, and they're probably still running this chain of Rima.
As the son of a shyster. Yep, right, yeah.
I wish I could remember their name. I'm sure the granddaddy's dead by now, and maybe even the father, but, oh, what a fucking...
Oh, and Brother Deacon Asa, with another observation, global elites, why does old Jim Caviezel feel the need to substitute the Jews with global elites? Mel Gibson would be livid. It was the Jews, Henry, the Jews.
That's right. I just
I like your Nixon better than mine. That's right.
People have got to know if their person's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. You gotta get it low.
Jawohl, mein Herr President.
I forget which film it was. I think it was The Final Days. They made a film of that. It was a horrid, wretched film. I think that was the one.
Mein Führer, I can walk! Sorry.
No, that was the one where Kissinger was played by Paul Sorvino.
Yeah.
Was it Paul Sorvino played Kissinger with these fucking goofy horn-rimmed glasses and this phony German accent, Mr. President? The people have got to know. Let's pray, Henry. Let's kneel here on the White House floor in front of the fireplace.
Pray to Jesus.
Pray to Jesus.
Oh, no, because I'm a Quaker. With a deep-seated respect for the sanctity of human life.
Is that Barbara Bush on the front of that oatmeal box? I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. You've worn me out, Robin.
I do that from time to time. I'm terribly sorry. Oh, by the way, a little bit more about Sean Kennedy, courtesy of Mark in Florida. After graduating, this will gag your gut. After graduating from Emory University in the Columbus School of Law at the Catholic School of America, Kennedy worked for Senator Gephardt of Missouri.
Oh, wow.
No, that would be Representative Gephardt. And then went on to the AT&T Federal Relations, Chief of Staff to Claire McCaskill. And from there, leapfrogs to the Obama administration as Special Assistant for Legislative Affairs. And now time for Senior Vice President for Association from Airlines for America. And from there, zipped over to become the 2019 to become the Executive Vice President for National Restaurant Association. Quite the pedigree there.
Along the way, was there a head injury involved?
No. I mean,
I'm not making fun of people with head injuries, but I just one wonders. I mean, how do you make that kind of a switch?
I know.
People do strange things. That's.
Well, they're not in business for people to earn a living wage. They're in business to sell some crap. You know, Shoney's, Olive Garden.
Well, hell, I can't tell you the last time
Wendy's,
I've been to one
McDonald's.
Of those types of restaurants. I mean, even before the pandemic and the lockdowns and stuff, I didn't go to these places. I mean, it was a big deal if I would go like.
But a shit ton of people do, and the fact of the matter is, now more than ever, people are flocking because the COVID's over. Never mind that cases are climbing. Never mind that Germany was officially listed by the United States Department of State as a no-go country right now. Germany.
Yeah.
Because they can't get COVID under control. But meanwhile, you know, we haven't.
Just when you want people to march in lockstep, they don't do it. The people that you would least suspect of not marching.
Glad you said lock and not goose.
Well, yes. You cannot get these leather boots onto a goose. We have tried it. It doesn't work. They kick them off. They nibble them.
Nibbling?
Nibbling to death by ducks. That's how it is dealing
with the goats. Say, I'll bite you.
Well, I'm glad we had this little.
What about the geese? The geese. Not goat stepping. Goose stepping.
Hey, listen.
The geese. They bite.
I was on my route once when I was working for the film processing company, coming down a country road on the way to somewhere else. And I see a goose out in the guy's front yard. And I say, well, let me pull up the circular driveway here and say hello to the goose. Well, what I didn't know was it was a fucking watch goose. And I foolishly got out of the car.
And it attacked.
And he wanted a piece of me. And I won't say which piece he wanted. But I skedaddled back into the car. And they honk at you. Geese do honk. And they're mean little fuckers.
You're damn right they honk. I mean, there's a famous Scottish distillery, and they don't have Rottweilers and German Shepherds. They've got attack geese.
The geese are drunk. They honk. Oh no, they're not drunk. That goose is a mean drunk.
got little hip flaps.
Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa, what's your problem with precision marching enthusiasts, you bigot? Precision marching. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Springtime for Hitler.
Und Germany. Germany. No singing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If I ever go into drag, I want that outfit in that the stage actress had with the pretzels over the boobs.
Yeah, that was quite the over the top dirndl. That
I just Mel Brooks is certifiable and has entertained us for years by being so. Ay, ay, ay. All right. Well, listen, I see by the old clock on the wall.
Old clock on the wall says time to get out of here, and you're absolutely right.
But I'm glad we had this opportunity to catch up. And
oh, I am too. I enjoyed this immensely. We managed to cover horrors and tragedies, and somehow or another along the way, work in some madcap and some zany. Back in the day, you must have been hell on the morning zoo crew, Scott.
Oh, I very seldom did a morning radio because I was not at my best at that hour. I was the overnight guy. And see, that's when the fun happens.
That's where the fun listeners are.
One time, I forget how this goes. I've got the tape somewhere. One time doing the overnight shift at KLSI, Kansas City, 93.3, I think it was. I got a call from a guy. There was a girl out in Washington, D.C., and a guy in Kansas City, and somehow they made it possible to do a bit with me doing overnights in Kansas City and Karen Henderson at WMAL Radio in Washington, D.C., and the content was on my air and her air, and it was something about the guy proposing to the girl. Does any of that make sense? I'm pretty sure
a little bit.
How it went.
I'm working with you.
Yeah, I will have to find the tape because this is back in the 80s. Okay. But yeah. And that was. Nobody got hurt with that type of radio. You can't say that about radio now. That's the tragedy of that medium. And yes, there's still people who are doing informative and
speaking
stuff.
Of which, no, I got a great example of that. You didn't mean to, but you opened the door right up.
All right, go ahead.
Let's head out to KFAB. In Nebraska.
Yeah, Johnny Carson used to work there.
Well, it ain't Johnny Carson. They got a guy working for him now by the name of Chris Baker. And his job is to do right-wing blather. And so when the verdict against Derek Chauvin came out, within about an hour of the verdict, he put out a tweet with one word, guilty, and an exclamation point, showing some dark-skinned indigenous people dancing around a pole. No shit.
And as far as we know, he gets to keep his job at...
Well, KFAB is owned by iHeartRadio, which used to be called...
J-Corps, and... After that, Clear Channel.
Precisely.
Randy Michaels' old outfit.
But even though he deleted it quickly, the internet caught it.
As it so often does, Robin.
And so, yeah, what a great guy. Well, at least Clandice Owens would probably get a kick out of it.
With sponsors, it's I don't know what the rate card
spot announcements is at KFAB for whatever this guy's. What does he have? The morning shift or what?
No, I don't know. He's just some right wing blatherer.
But whatever shift he does, I'm sure that KFAB charges a pretty penny for the spot announcements, the commercials on this guy's madcap program.
Oh, sure.
Certainly, you as a sponsor, you're trying to sell toasters and vacuum cleaners. Do you want this heat brought down upon you that you are, this content is brought to you by the XYZ Vacuum and Toaster Company with three convenient locations in the, where in Nebraska is that?
I'm presuming Lincoln. It was reported by a Lincoln paper.
I couldn't remember.
And, reported by the Omaha World Herald, but he has been fired.
Oh, good.
His tweet was completely inappropriate and unacceptable.
Yeah.
And so now he'll go to work at some other iHeart radio station desperately in need of a right-wing hate monger.
That name Chris Baker rings a bell. I'll bet you if you look into his history.
Oh, but wait, there's an excuse. There's an excuse. They canned him, but reached by phone Wednesday, he said the image that accompanied his tweet was a boomer Twitter moment. Is that an Oklahoma slur, boomer sooner? No. And then went on to say, the guy who tweeted it, the racist image, said, that's not me. That's not who I really am. He inadvertently, wait, this is so good. At least he didn't play the took me out of context card. He said, I inadvertently selected the wrong image while doing multiple things at once, hosting the show and lining up guests and monitoring the unfolding news after the verdict. Tried to get the tweet taken down right away, but I struggled to do so. And there at the Omaha World Herald, they said, well, do you think the tweet was racist? And then there's this. Well, I don't know if that's a fair question. It's horrible is what it was. There's a difference between being intentional and being a fat-fingered boomer on Twitter. I don't look at black people that way.
Yeah, he's guilty.
He claimed that the image popped of dark-skinned natives dancing barely clothed. The image popped when he looked for people celebrating.
See, I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night.
Last night, exactly.
Yeah, you know?
He works 2 to 6 at KFAB, worked.
See, the more elaborate the explanation, the flimsier it becomes. There's probably a scientific principle involved in this. But the more elaborate you get in your explanation of why it happened and it shouldn't have happened to you, the more horseshit is leavened into that mixed into that recipe. Hasn't this been your experience in dealing with people?
Pretty much.
The more cogent and rational and understandable that they try to make it, the worse it is for them, because you know.
Yep. First law of holes. When you're in one, quit digging.
Yeah. It's the rule of shovels. The law. What is called the law of shovels?
Yes, that's the law of shovels.
Yeah.
But there's an interesting denouement to this whole thing. There's a GOP state senator in Nebraska named John McAllister. And he tweeted a screenshot of the post and said, racism like this is a, all caps, feature of conservative talk radio, but they usually mask it with dog whistles, but not this time.
Yeah.
He's right. Ordinarily, this is good business. He got fired for this shit. If Tucker Carlson had done it, he would have gotten a fucking raise. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. You're not at all. I mean, I definitely do not subject myself to anything that network has to say. And he just sitting there with his slack-jawed face hanging out every night.
Well, that's okay. He'll have a new he'll have a new job with some other iHeart radio station in no time flat.
Well, he could be the Midwest correspondent for the Tucker Carlson Hour.
Hire him.
You know? Jesus. I just don't.
All right, we're going to get out of here, Scott. I just had that's a radio story. I had to bring it up.
I'll bet you, and it's a fairly common name, but it rang a bell when you said the name, and I think I've heard of this guy. And this is, if it's the same guy I'm thinking of, it's not the first time that he's gotten into hot water over such a thing, an outrageousness.
Wouldn't surprise me at all if that was the case. He just happened to get away with it before.
Well,
but I mean, isn't iHeartRadio billions and billions and billions of dollars broke? That makes a lot of difference sometimes.
Well, that we don't have time to get into it, but the Communications Act, Telecommunications Act of 1996, somebody needs to address that. It may be too late to save radio and to make it anywhere like it used to be, but that was a big nail in the coffin for that industry.
Oh, far more than the Fairness Doctrine. So many people make that mistake, Scott.
Well, the Fairness Doctrine, we're past quitting time, and I don't want to start a new thing, but I'll need to call in again, and for those listeners who don't know the story, we can tell them what happened to radio.
Yeah.
I mean,
It didn't die. It was taken out and killed.
Well, yeah, and it's needlessly so. You know, it's one thing if grandma is sick and she's going to die anyway, so, you know. But radio wasn't sick. It was in need of upgrading. And as they so often do, they do the worst possible thing with the best possible motive. And everybody gets fucked. Talent gets fucked. The listeners get fucked. Everybody. And it's not the happy type of fuck that we all like. It's the bad type of fuck that we dread. You know? I just... Calm down. Calm down. Take my hand and pull me in off the ledge. I've been sitting on the ledge.
Well, see, usually I go out on the ledge and sit and have a cigarette with you, but, you know.
Yeah, I would like a cigarette long about now. I don't know why. I woke up today and said, gee, it would be nice to have a cigarette. And I said to myself, what the fuck are you talking about? Where did this come from? Is the Nicorette not enough? Yeah, but I can't keep it lit. Well, fuck it. It's not supposed to be lit.
You should try smoking. You should try smoking one of these nicotine pouches. They're all wet.
Are these like paper-like pouches?
Yeah.
With
just pure nicotine dust with some flavor.
What are they? What is the brand name? I have never heard of these things.
There's a brand called Zen. There's another one called Drift. There's another one called On. I tend to use the On brand 2 milligram cinnamon ones. Unpaid product placement.
And they're called nicotine pouches.
Yeah. And they come 20 to a box.
My.
And I started off at like 6 and 8 milligrams, got down to 4. Now I'm down to 2.
I've heard of the gum. I've heard of the patches.
I tried the patches and the gum both. Neither of them worked worth a damn for me. But I tell you what, the day that I quit, I popped one in my mouth and the craving went away and never looked back. But yes, every now and then, yeah, I think about them. Sure. Because I don't care if it's booze or meth or heroin, fentanyl, pills, caffeine, nicotine. Airplane glue, air duster, propane, when you quit an addictive substance, you're never all the way quit. You're always, you're constantly on guard to one degree or another. Because you can, you can lose it at any time.
Yeah, the length of time. I mean, you're more recently quit than I am. I quit in August of '99, which gives you a rough idea how you know.
Damn, you're hard quit.
So if I wake up and I'm thinking, gee, I'd really like a cigarette after all this time.
Fuck no.
I mean. I'm not addicted to nicotine. I just happen to like a little nicotine during the course of my day, and I don't want to have to light something.
Well, see, and in my case, I still love my decaf because I found decaf that tastes like coffee, and I love it because I always loved coffee. And they make coffee-flavored nicotine pouches.
Wait a minute. You've screwed my head up big time. I'm having one of those abadi coffee flavored nicotine pouches.
Damn, Skippy.
Are they like coffee toffee? There's candy, hard candy, semi hard candy.
No, they're these little dry pouches. They've got nicotine in them that has a coffee flavor to them. And when I'm having my morning decaf, I pop one of those little suckers in.
Dear sweet merciful Jesus, the world we live in is tremendous. I wouldn't live at any other time than this. We live in a world that there are coffee-flavored nicotine pouches that you can have as you sip your decaf. It's going to take me all evening to get my head around that.
Oh, and we got some background on this Chris Baker dude.
Did he ever work in D.C. or Baltimore?
No, Iowa Dan just wrote in and said, thought I'd give you some background on Chris Baker. This hot air bag got into radio after his failed career as a comedian. Originally from Omaha, he started here in the 90s doing alternative rock. After his comedy career, he rose up in right-wing radio and filled in for Glenn Beck and co-hosted a show with Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. These flames burn out, and the world is better without his polluted mind spewing his horse shit on the public airwaves.
Well, that's where I know him from. If he was associated with Beck or who was the Governor Perry?
No, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Oh, Dan Patrick, yeah. Not to be confused with the sports guy, Dan Patrick.
No, not at all to be confused. All right, well, I appreciate that, and let's get out of here, Scott.
Well, let's.
Hitch old Dobbin to the Shay and holler, giddy up.
We have to sell the Shay. And the old Dobbin's not doing well either. And I'm next on the list. So what do you think about that? Anyway, thank you for the opportunity.
And for God's sakes, we'll be rooting for you to keep a roof over your head
and a floor under my feet. And I when I'm preoccupied like that, the rest of the world goes away. Okay, and you know, hopefully it'll work out okay. And any encouraging thoughts that people would like to send, they will be gratefully received. But it was good catching up with you. And Horn family, I love you. I just love all, each and every one of you. If you were right here, I'd put my teeth in again and give you a big old, kiss and a hug. But thank you.
Well, I think you just scared a hell of a lot of people away from San Diego, Scott. So, you know, good on you.
Thank you, Anglo-Saxon, upright, Caucasian god, that we are not within kissing distance.
Wait, you worked in Anglo-Saxon. You genius.
That's an old Monty Python.
Yeah, I know, but yeah.
What is it? The meaning of life. Thank you, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, upright god. Anyway, all right, Robin. Yeah,
Scott, get out of here. Go have a coffee.
No, you like, I need more caffeine. Is this what you're telling me?
Hey, you know, if it's in you, it's in the moment.
I love you, Robin, and I love you, Agnes, and I love your Horn family.
Oh, we love you, Scott. You have a good evening, my friend.
Give me a big old kiss, and maybe you'll get my gumdrop.
We'll see you. Go away.
Mwah, mwah.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, I need the laughs. I do. I think we all do. Okie doke. So that's the program. Almost managed to get 3 hours in because of my tardiness to the microphone. I think I'm what, about 8 minutes short? But that's okay. So here endeth the lesson. Here endeth prayer meeting Wednesday. Tomorrow, I guess the fundraising goal is going to be $1,295. Wow. Shit gets rough when I take a couple of days off. But nonetheless, thank you. Thank you, Jeremy, for answering Joey and Giraffe's challenge. Thanks to all of you who, with your kind subscriptions via Patreon and PayPal, managed to keep this little independent broadcasting effort on the air. Thanks to all of our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Brother Bishop Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Good on you for getting your second shot. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your Democratic member of the House of Representatives, hell, even a Republican, and ask them to sign on to H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. We've never had a better chance of passing this bill, but we got to get a bunch of co-sponsors. But always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And, well, stay safe. Get your vaccine when you can. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear your nitrile gloves if you've got them. They're colorful and cute. Use hand sanitizer. Carry some with you everywhere you go. Keep your social distance 15 feet between you and another person wearing a mask. And, goodness me, 15 universes between you and someone who isn't. And, of course, if somebody comes toward you saying that... Well, that was a boomer mistake I made posting that racist image. Avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Later.